Which one is this?
This is Jotoma.
Yeah, I like this track.
You're connected to the electronic edition of All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. We thought we'd try something a little different. I'm here with Sammy Anigan. Sammy's a producer here at NPR Music and a lover of electronic music. And Otis Hart is a producer here at NPR Music as well. He also is the founder of Dusted Magazine. Welcome both lovers of electronic music. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to play a bunch of music that's either just come out, all electronic based, or is coming out. What do you got, Sammy?
I got Gold Panda. He's a guy from London. A lot of my music is actually from London. It seems to be where a ton of, you know, the most cutting-edge electronic music is coming out of. Gold Panda, the album is called Lucky Shiner. It opens with this kind of beautiful xylophone kind of collage of sound. Almost exclusively, I've been listening to this record over and over and over again.
So I'm going to ask some real sort of basic questions of both of you on a bunch of these different songs. First off, Sammy, is this something that Gold Panda could do live? Is this something that you would just hear in a club? Where would you hear it and how would it be presented?
Yeah, this is definitely something that you could hear live. As far as what his actual stage performance is, I mean, he incorporates drum machines and live instruments into his sets. This is not just a guy standing behind a laptop.
So the next question is then, where do you find Gold Panda? You spin records and...
I DJ. Actually, how did I find this one? I think I follow, you know, a lot of people on Twitter, and one of the guys who works at... his name is Cyrus. He works at a record label called Yoshitoshi, and he was, I think it was on Facebook, was talking about how much he loved... this record. He said it was the best electronic record of the year, and I said, wow, I mean, that must, it's high praise coming from somebody who, you know, whose job it is to listen to demos all the time, and so I gave it a listen, and I mean, it's certainly one of my favorites that I've heard so far.
The interesting thing about Gold Panda from a contemporary music industry perspective is that he kind of made a name for himself through remixing other well-known people's material before he made his own music. I'm sure he was dabbling in the bedroom the whole time, but he became famous because he did remixes for Block Party and for Health. And, you know, just artists love the remix. It's like a second version of the same song. It's more promotion. And so people who are good at taking other people's songs and adding something to it, like, their name's going to shoot to the top of any electronic hits.
That's how a lot of these people are making names for themselves, is by remixing more famous artists, and then they come out with their own stuff, and sometimes it falls flat, and in this case it hasn't.
So Otis, play DJ then, and pick me something that would go with what we just heard. How's that?
Oh, a track that I really love right now, it is by this new trio on Compact Records. Compact's a very well-known techno house label out of Germany, and they signed this new trio called Jotoma. They're from Denmark. I put it on because one of the guys in the group did this really great remix of a Bon Iver song last year. His name's Thomas Bedford, and he's one of the three guys in Jatoma. This song that we're about to play, it's called Little Houseboat, and it's got this really pretty chord progression that you've probably heard a million times in your life. But so anyway, this the chord progression of this song is really beautiful.
Okay. I think of two things when I hear both of the music that you've chosen. One is, for me, there's sort of two sorts of electronic music. One I call machine electronic music, and the other I call very organic electronic music. This is very organic electronic music for me. And one thing you're guaranteed about in organic electronic music is that, like listening to great Indian music, it takes a while to happen. Like, it's going to just unfold like a little lotus.
If you just noticed, I was going to say something about that, but this show is going to be a little different than what you normally do because we're dealing with songs that are 7 and 8 minutes long and that take a while to really get going. And if you notice, right as you cut in, you hear that little bass in the background there. Adds a lot to the song.
And if you've ever made this kind of music, if you ever made electronic music or any kind of music that's real trancey, you know that time sort of slows down as you make it. And so when you're doing it, it's like, oh, this is kind of nice and I'm kind of into it, and maybe now I'll change something.
Right.
You know, and it's that time frame, and you hear that expressed in the music because that's sort of, to me, what the sounds do to me. I love it. Very nice. This is Jatoba.
Jatoma.
Jatoma. Jatoba's a wood, right? It's a Brazilian wood, I think, but yeah.
Yeah, the song's Little Houseboat. It doesn't actually come out for till November 9th, so this is a good sneak peek.
Sammy Ennegan, what do you have?
Well, Let me pick something that would be a machine electronic music. When I listen to this, and what I would recommend to listeners at home is, when you listen to this either in a great pair of headphones or on, you know, great speakers, because the mastering and the sounds that they use for this, this is Mount Kimby. These guys are these dubstep producers also from London who are now opening for the XX.
Yeah, they opened for the XX in Rome and German dates too.
Now these guys, the sounds that they use and the way that they pan the sounds across, you know, from left to right is unbelievable. It's truly one of the cleanest and crispest productions that I've heard in a long time. Yeah. So
they remind me a kind of way of the books, the way they use the entire sound field.
Yeah. Right.
all the songs on this album kind of unfold in really unexpected ways. They, you know, some of this electronic music we'll listen to has very subtle changes that you won't even really notice is happening until kind of you're in this whole new idea. This, you are kind of hit, you know, upside the head oftentimes with totally different ideas, but it never really clashes, which is what I love about it.
Well, you mentioned dubstep earlier, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people might know, but a lot of people might so not. And so
dubstep, the funny thing about dubstep is,
well, one thing that I wanted to say about dubstep is a hybrid of hip-hop and electronic music that sort of originated in South London.
Dub and reggae.
And reggae.
A lot of different things.
But in the beginning, it's kind of new. It came around, you know, maximum, you know, 10 years ago, people maybe were starting to play around with this idea of mixing, you know, electronic and hip-hop in a fresh way. But Burial became this figure that really brought it to a much wider audience. That was in like 2006. Right. This is new music. They're doing something that other people have not done before, which is, you know, always exciting when you run into that.
And because it's such a new genre, it's really hard to kind of define. Like, there's no people throw things under the umbrella of dubstep that don't necessarily have a lot to do with other things that are tossed under the umbrella. So, you know, some have called this post dubstep because it's, you know, but I mean, I think it's important to kind of take a step out of these, you know, these genre categories. They're pretty restricting for the most part. And
waiting for industrial dubstep.
Yeah.
I got some coming up, actually.
Do you? Play it?
I'm joking. but actually, I do have something if we want to keep moving here.
Sure.
There's a producer also from the same scene in London. His name's Tara Danger. And he has been making grime and dubstep productions for a little while now. Grime is a British take on hip-hop, basically. It's very reggae-influenced, and it's usually delivered over harsher, more off-kilter beats than what American hip-hop is used to. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is Tara Danger's song's called This Year. It's off an album that's coming out in November on Hyperdub, which is a record label out of the UK. It features two vocalists, Ms. Brat and Griminal, who are pretty well-known in the grime scene. Grime sort of took off over the top of dubstep. Almost, you can almost like
more vocal based
version of dubstep, except, you know, with a nice reggae influence. So this song is called This Year.
Yeah, you know, taking over. It's a mad one. That's crazy. It's Miss Brat, me, Criminal, hard, Terror Danger, D.O.K. Yeah, I stepped out Nike fit, it's so wicked. Fresh. Critics can't even touch this, the word breaks. Out of this world, like I can skill wordplay and I can't even spell. Oh well, I've always been ahead of my class, ahead with the bars. Every time I step in the dark, it's a better rule that stamp too low for the trap and you throw that. Yeah, I heard your album and it's okay, but it's a better than mine. No way, cause we keep hustling all day, then I was moving up, up and away. Boom. You better up the verse, up the worth. Matter of fact, you better up the work. Yes, I know that I take the piss. Are you gonna let a young girl take the mic?
Yo, bruh, I don't know what them men are on, but I know that I wanna make these this year.
Yo, Grim, I don't know what them girl are on. All I know is I'm going on these this year.
Yo, bruh, I don't know what them girl are on.
Yo, Grim, I don't know what them man are on.
Yo, bruh, I don't know what them girl are on.
All I know is I'm gonna make these this year.
Yeah, it's all Nike fitted with a white crepe, got a white tee with it. Yeah. How could you not like these lyrics? You know what it's like when I ride these rhythms. All that I need is about 5 minutes. Man, I like I'm shouting, I'm like, is it? I'm a dying, you shine your limelight with it. Gotta like I'm fine and I'm like in it. By the line I finish, I'ma make your wifey like my image. And I'ma take my time to highlight in it. Then I'ma redefine what's run by critics. Yep, I rhyme tight in it. Limelight, dim it. Mind that you gotta get banged like silly. Fam, just quit it. See what you wanna do, man, just did it.
Yo, bruh, I don't know what them men are on, but I know that I wanna make these this year. Yo, Grim, I don't know what them girl are on. All I know is I'm going on these this year.
Yo, bruh, I don't know what.
I'm curious what happens when this crime scene makes it over here.
It probably becomes hip-hop.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you take away the lyrics from this song, the vocals, and it sounds a lot like what dubstep was doing 5 years ago. So it's they've grown together, grime and dubstep.
Do you have anything that's not London-based? Can we want to move out of London?
Yeah.
I mean, not that I don't like this stuff, but I'm just curious. Let's move around the world a little.
Yeah, let's go to Oberlin College.
Okay.
Teen Girl Fantasy. Don't let the name you know, fool you or make you run away. This is actually, I went to high school with one of these guys.
So we got some nepotism on our hands here.
We got some nepotism. No, I mean, it's really, these guys are really blowing up, and it's because they are producing new music with a very classic feel. They don't use any computers in their productions. This is a Juno, a drum machine, and an MPC. And so all their performances are all live. They record all their songs live. And so these productions...
Just a minute. I just love the fact that we can say now, understand that when the Junos and the Roland drum machines were made, you would think of them as machines,
right?
But now because we have computers, we can. I'm not giving you a hard time.
No, I hear you.
I'm trying to make a point that
these days.
So now these things seem almost more human.
Oh yeah.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make here.
This is analog.
Yeah, analog.
That's right. Yeah.
So nothing. Not even close to analog, but it's the equivalent in electronic music.
Yeah.
It's more natural. That's the irony. But keep going.
So this song is called Cheaters. It is sampled, Cheaters Never Win by The Love Connection, I believe is where the sample is taken from. Take a listen, and then we'll talk about it.
All right, Teen Girl Fantasy.
Move up to the vocals.
Sure. How far down do we need to go? About?
Oh, I don't know.
Another couple of
30
minutes.
30 seconds, maybe a minute.
Good. I'm here with Sammy Yenigan, here with Otis Hart. We're talking about electronic music today. That's Teen Girl Fantasy. And the sample was from where?
It was The Love Committee.
The Love Committee, 1978.
Yeah. R&B. Cheaters Never Win is the name of the song. One thing I want to say about this song, and about kind of the way a lot of this music is produced nowadays, the live component is really important. Nowadays, a lot of producers produce on programs like Logic and Ableton, and what they do with the bass kicks, I mean, generally this is house music, and this is like a 4-4 format, so it's a bass kick every beat of the measure. The bass kick gets the quarter note. A lot of times when you have things that are produced in Logic and Ableton, if you produce it exactly on the beat, it doesn't have the same groove that a live sound does. And so what a lot of producers do is they artificially swing the beats or you know, quantize them a little bit off so that it's not, you know, it's not hitting every beat. This is actually, you know, produced live, and so it has that groove, it has that live feel without any of the kind of the artificial treatment. And I think that's, you know, something to, you know, to commend the producers on.
So you're saying that the drum machines, the old drum machines that they're using, is not as solidly 4/4 by nature as something done in something like Logic.
Right. When you do something in Logic, you can, if you want,
yeah, you can
have everything mathematically, like, to the T lined up.
And what do you like?
I like the swing.
Yeah.
I like the swing. I like the groove. I like it to have a live feeling. Otherwise, it's just, it sounds rigid. It sounds boxy. It doesn't have the same effect. And this, you know, this is
organic. It's funny because I never, ever thought of those machines. It's odd to hear someone say that old drum machines have more swing when, at the time, you would say drum machines are exactly the thing that is just rigid. It's the very militaristic, steady tone.
Well, swing can also be added by the other instruments. I mean, it's kind of the relation of the drum and the bass.
It seems like people are attracted to those sounds now because they sound old. They sound vintage. Like, they may not be swinging, but they're definitely not sharp.
Right. You know, and we call them cheesy. Just saying.
You know, it's funny how these cycles happen, though.
Yeah, it does. I like looking at this. It's really, it's like people landing from another planet and looking at it a completely different way. So it's interesting. It's interesting to hear that they're still alive and kicking, so to speak, and that people are doing interesting stuff.
I think a lot of it comes down to nostalgia, really. Like, the way the music industry works now is that there's, the equipment you can buy is, like, obviously, you know, technology has come a long way, and we have the ability to make things sound perfect, and I think that things weren't always that way, and a lot of people who are making music now grew up with sounds that weren't necessarily digitized. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone loved their childhood in retrospect, right? Yeah. Like, we all wanted to go back there to that age. And I feel like that sort of comes through in the music, not just when people are making the music, but when we're listening to the music as fans, like, we sort of feel like part of us is going back to the early 80s.
Mm-hmm. I'm beating a dead horse, but there was nothing analog about analog synths.
Yeah.
People thought of them as digital.
Right.
And that's the weird part.
Right. Yeah. Sammy talked about the groove there and the MPCs. I have an artist that's going to be a perfect segue. His name's Moody Man, and he's been making house music out of Detroit since 1993. And he actually doesn't make music on a computer. He makes it on MPCs and
MPCs
keyboards.
Is
an MPC originally was a MIDI production center. And he's really stayed away from the laptop because he has this really great soulful vintage feel to all of his music, and it comes from the instruments that he's using to make the music.
To be clear, he was making that vintage music. This isn't just...
Yeah, he's had the same instruments for 15, 16 years.
Right.
So he's not, like, going out and buying new stuff. But yeah, he's from Detroit, and he makes music that's, like, really soulful, really hard-hitting. And this song we're about to hear, it's off a new 12-inch that he released on his own label. The song's called It's Too Late for You and Me. Bob, if you move ahead to the vocals, I can give you a better picture of what this guy's about. Right here.
2,000 yen on beat. Now come along, let's do new bells. All right, how much is that?
Is he going to sing?
He is vocalist. He never really sings. He's got a female vocalist. Right there.
It's too late for you and me.
So you can fade out.
cool sounds.
Yeah, so he's always got this like sort of funk aesthetic at the bottom of his
deep
of his
vibes,
real deep. And he's been, you know, cranking out hits for 15 years.
Huh.
And
does his name is?
It's Moody Man.
Moody Man. One word.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Seafield was doing this when he was doing it, too.
What are you thinking, Sammy?
I'm thinking the past couple tracks have been dancing in 4-4, and I want to touch on something else now.
Good. What is that?
Morgan Packard, another American producer. He's going to be a jazz sax player. And ended up learning how to program software and actually programs his own software for making music and feels that that gives him a lot kind of more flexibility as far as the sounds that he makes and what he wants to do. For me, this music is not dance music. This music is kind of, think of it as like it paints the walls of your room. I put this music on when I'm, you know, reading a book or cleaning the house or falling asleep. It kind of adds texture to whatever setting you're in. At least that's how I experience this music. It's like wallpaper, reupholsters the furniture in your room, so to speak.
Would Morgan Packard be offended that you listen to it as wallpaper?
I sure hope not. I listen to it very closely. It's not just passive music. I am a very active listener of it, but I think in that capacity, it's valuable.
Sneak it in, Robin. Let's put it in the back. You know the Brian Eno, John Hassel record that they did together?
Mm-hmm.
It sort of has that same feel to me. I'll have to go back now and listen to that record. I haven't heard 10, 15 years, but...
Yeah, I honestly feel kind of bad for artists like this in these contemporary times when it's the rave and the dance and the like loud music that gets everyone's attention.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff often goes by unnoticed, and it's a shame.
And is the nighttime music for a lot of people when they're in instead of out.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a time when this was called home listening music. I don't know if you've ever read.
No, I've never heard that expression.
It's like, oh yeah, it's really good home listening.
Bedroom music. You got anything else like this, Otis?
I do, actually.
Oh, let's go there.
This guy's actually, I feel like, the modern master of this sort of like trancy, beautiful music. Gavin Russom. He is a member of LCD Sound System. He joined last year. But he's been making a lot of records for DFA, which is LCD's record label, for the past 5 years. You know, the way electronic music works for the most part is that they release 12 inches. The song that we're about to hear is called Track 5. It's the actual title of the song.
Okay.
Because it was going to be the fifth song on an album that he released 5 years ago.
I see. Okay.
Which ended up only having 4 songs on it. So that's why it's called Track 5. The album, though, that I'm talking about is called The Days of Mars, which is this beautiful, blissed out trance music that he made for DFA Records back in the day. Anyway, this is Delia Gonzalez and Gavin Russom.
Excellent. And I assume this cut's gonna head in some other directions as it goes. These are all long cuts, yeah, on this record. And
yeah, Russum, Gavin Russum usually deals, I mean, none of his tracks are really less than 10 minutes. But I mean, that's the point. He wants you to lose yourself in the songs. This is not for, you know, quick hits. This isn't sugar. This is actually not going to be on an album. It's just a 12-inch. And I think the way a lot of places are doing it now, a lot of labels are selling the record and then giving you a digital download so you can listen to it on the road. But
a lot of electronic music is single-based as opposed to album-based.
I mean, it's always kind of been that way. I mean, sort of what makes...
For clubs.
Right, exactly.
So if I wanted to, or people out there like a lot of this music, how do you come to find the stuff? Where would they go to find stuff?
Well, Otis and I have been swapping SoundClouds in preparation for this show, to be honest.
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud is a... I guess you can describe it as an online streaming service where artists and labels upload, and publicists even upload, you know, MP3s and WAV files, and you can...
Yeah, that's something unusual, too. The quality seems to... Perhaps be a little better on SoundCloud.
It's a social networking site, essentially, based around music files. And so you can comment.
Electronic music in particular, or just...
Everything.
A lot of labels use it for other kinds of music, but it has a very rampant following in the electronic music scene.
Yeah.
What made it is what it is today, because it's very popular now, they have the Dropbox. So you can take an MP3 and just, like, put it in some artist's Dropbox... And all of a sudden, they can hear that song instead of, you know, attaching it to a Gmail email and sending it and having it get lost. So anyway, it's very easy to share the music.
You can go on one artist's SoundCloud page and then see, you know, all the songs that they've done. And then that'll link you to other artists on the label. Okay. And then, I mean, it's a social networking site. And another thing that's really cool about it is when the comment system, people leave comments on specific parts of the song.
Like a minute 25 in, you can be like, I love this beat
here. Exactly.
I love it the way it comes
out. And so it makes it much more of a conversation about the music.
That's
great. It's like, it's not just, I love when the beat kicks in. It's, I love when the beat kicks in right here where I put my comment. You can see it.
The nice thing about SoundCloud, because of the social networking aspect of it, if you find one artist you like, it's really easy to find other artists you're going to like, because they're going to be leaving comments, or they're going to be remixed by a certain artist, and it just opens up doors that you didn't know existed.
Okay. It's a community.
Okay, and other places, just festivals.
Well, we got started talking about doing an electronic all songs because of the Decibel Festival in Seattle, which was just...
Yeah, it was two weekends ago. NPR Music did actually a project with KEXP in Seattle where we previewed that festival, and me and Sammy were hearing so many great electronic songs that we were like, man, maybe we should do a show about this, because there's so many good songs out there.
Is pretty unique in that it's really committed to kind of pushing the more experimental artists in this field, as opposed to, you know, there's other festivals which are more about dancing and party atmosphere and stuff like that, and this is much more of the kind of, you know, cutting edge experimental side of the genre.
Flying Lotus was the headliner this year.
Perfect.
And Mode Selector, who's one... Mode Selector is just one of my favorite. Love Mode Selector. So
great. Let's take us out. Each of you get a choice. Sammy Yenigan.
I'm gonna go with Sea Feel. The last thing they put out was 14 years ago, and they just came out, and their last performance was with Boards of Canada, who are one, you know, legends and kind of the IDM
godfathers.
Yeah, I mean, I love Boards of Canada, and this new
IDM intelligent dance music.
Well, yeah. I would almost say that this whole chill wave scene that we're experiencing right now, it's all Boards of Canada stuff.
Right.
Like, it's got the nostalgia.
Kind of shoegazy.
Play something on a tape 30,000 times so it sounds sort of deteriorated. That's what Boards of Canada was doing back in 96.
So Sea Feel, kind of in the same vein and around at the same time, came out with this new EP called Faults. It's got some vocals on it, which is a nice change of pace from what we've been listening to.
Good.
Still high.
Yeah, like that.
That is some serious bass.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and great.
I like the knocks, the knocking that starts in the beginning of the song
with a click of a right. Record, which makes me want to get up and move the needle in a little bit.
Right.
Well, for segue purposes, you couldn't have picked a better song, because this next song is a very serious bass to it, and also she played at the Decibel Festival. So what do you know? Her name is Toki Monsta.
One more.
Her actual name is Jennifer Lee. She's part of the LA beat scene, which is, you know, people recognize Flying Lotus as the head of that scene. So this song is called Samo Jung. It's off a new album she just released called Midnight Menu. And I got to give KCRW credit for this. Their DJ Anthony Valdez played it on his show, and it's just amazing. It's called Samo Jung.
Great. This is good fun. Heard a lot of good new music. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bob.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.